right, welcome back, and we now have almost reached halfway, or rather a little more than halfway on our different topics of project management. This chapter, of ideally, if you just notice on the board, it talks about budgets, investments, and approvals. So what do you think? Isn't it important? Nothing works without money, and we agree, at least the projects that we're doing, we need to have money, we need to have investments, we need to have people who support the idea with their finances. So processes involved in project management when it comes to budgets and investments, let's have a close look at it. We have a learning objective here, in which talks about, I'll read through for you from the slide. It says, for any organization in the world of business, profits, customer retention, and expansion are the key of survival. Do you agree with this? That unless I don't have customers, unless I don't have retention mechanisms, unless I don't have new products and services which requires money, it will not help me to work around any project. So finances become a very, very critical element for achieving targets. All these aspects. Successfully, a common factor is playing a very important role, and that is money. All right. So money is never an abundant resource in any organization, and is same in case of projects. And hence, budgeting and controlling is a vital assignment for successful accomplishment of a project. So what do I mean by that? Money is never abundant. I mean, you always want more. So if given a choice, and I would say, okay, I'll require a lot of money for a lot of things. But that's not how things happen. Money is a resource which is scarcely used. I mean, and then you've got to be very vigilant about money. Now, whether it is philosophical, whether it is more from the psychological point of view, or more from usage of money. Money is an integral aspect of any project, or even life. And I mean, I've always spoken about this, that project is nothing, but a life itself is a project. So let me also give you a simple understanding how the word currency evolves. Currency is current flowing. That's called currency. All right. It's a Italian word, and then it's was turned into English as currency. So money that keeps flowing is called currency. So energy cannot be destroyed nor be created. That's a simple phenomena of Newton's law, and hence currency has to be used in a very proper manner, and has to be a correct flow of where is it going and how it's getting reproducing and replicating itself. So your products will create money, your services will create money, your ideas that get converted into projects will create money. Now, that's an integral aspect. But where does this money come from? And why should somebody pay you? And why should somebody give you money at the end of the day? Because that's the most important thing in the commercial aspect of your life. So as project managers, you've got to be very vigilant about how you're using. What is the cash flow management that you have? What are the things at different milestones that you would want to achieve through your projects? How is your money going to flow into different activities of your project? Have you justified how that money is being routed, and why is it being given to that individual or that process or that system or that machinery for that matter? So money, important aspect of any project and our life too, but important is that it has to be managed well. It has to be controlled well. If you do not control your money, if you do not control your cash flow, it might just lead you to bankruptcy. Now, this doesn't go only with projects, by the way, my friends. It also goes with your personal life. So if you don't manage, and by the way, where do you spend your money? Always has a choice. So would I want to, because I understand the series is for college students, where you want to spend your money, at CCDs or at junk parlors, or would you want to invest it in a book, is a choice that you have when you work as a project manager. Because don't forget, your project of your college is going to end, and then you're going to get into a new project. So where do you use your money, and how do you use your money, is an integral part of how do you work around your life. So from a project management point of view, let's have a look at this. It says, the project schedule time is the most important variable link with the cost. So time differs, time changes, cost changes, right? So if I things that I used to get, say let's talk about, I'm wearing a watch. The watch that would cost me 10 years back for say 500 rupees would cost me around 5,000 rupees today. Time's changed, money's changed. The value of money changes with time. So something that was available, a resource that was available for me in say 1 rupee, today is maybe 15, 20. So with time, money changes. So time is a variable component of money. Any increase, addition of time shall have direct impact as escalation of cost. So I give you an example, if you remember, about the dams that are built or the dams that we're trying to build in India. One of, I don't know whether it's a fraud or whether it's not a fraud, but I'm not getting into that, but that's to give you a relative example. If you realize, there was a dam that was getting constructed in some part of Maharashtra. If the dam would have been completed in 2004, the cost was 440 crore rupees. My friends, it's still not completed, and we are now in 2015. The cost has ranged to 4,400 crores. So that's if you lose time on a project, that's how big it can cost you. So if I'm not able to manage my cost or my time, it's going to have repercussions. What's the problem now? If I would have had dams build up and all the connectivity of my rivers build up in 1996 or 95, the same resources would have been a little less. But today, they're very, very expensive. So our government also has realized this, and they're expediting the processes of getting it because resources are getting scarce. So not necessarily all the steel comes from India. I have to import it. If I have to import it, my cost is going to go high because the economy is changing. If I have to import cement, if I import the big turbines that I require, everything that I'm getting from outside or even internally being produced, it is going to cost me today. So if I don't do it now and I know it is integral to do it right now, if I keep postponing it, my money is going to be double. So that's the way you start looking at money, because money is a very, very important point. If you just let me take you to a simple understanding, if you're a salaried person, or maybe if you're a college going student and if you have your pocket money, you have a pocket money of say 2000 rupees for every month. You get it in every first week of the month, say the first of every month. The moment you start finishing that by the 20th, what happens to you? Money changes behaviors. Money changes the way you look at the world. Money changes the way you execute things. Money changes the way people respond to you and you respond to them. So money gives you an important aspect of how do you live. Okay? Though it's not the everything in life, but it's one of the most important thing in life. And you as tomorrow's project leaders or managers or CEOs need to understand that money has a behavior. And the behavior is, if it is not controlled, it's going to go because it's flowing. Don't forget, it is currency. It will always flow. It will not stay with you if not utilized in correct manner. To deliver the products or the results that you want to, it will not stay with you. It'll go to somebody else. So that's a behavioral angle of it. And I hope you realize that money is that important when it comes to any projects or even living your life. So that takes us from a learning objective to the project management objective of money, which says budgeting is something. So what's a budget, by the way? So you always have a budget, right? I mean, are you going for college picnics or are you going for shopping, or are you going to for a marriage? A father will have a budget, a mother will have a budget for his sons and daughters marriage, for going for a picnic, your friends will have a budget. For going for or creating some project, you will have a budget. So there's always a budget. What do you mean by budget? Budget is the estimated cost that I will incur in the project. Whether it's a small one or a big one, whether it's personal or official, I will always have a budget to do something. So let's look at this. Budget is a process of aggregating the estimated cost of individual activities or work packages to establish the cost baseline. What does it mean? Simple language. I would have a budget of buying clothes or shopping, and my budget is 10,000 rupees. Now, why do I say 10,000 rupees? I say because I have calculated maybe my salary or my income, and I have decided that every quarter I will spend 5 to 10 grand or 10,000 on clothing. Why? Because it's an important integral aspect of my life as a professional. Where do you come by that? How do you come by that? So out of 100% money that I earn, I'm saying 10% or say 5% I'm devoting for my clothes. That's how the cost baseline comes in. So I got to now play around my 10,000 rupees. Whether I want to buy a Versace or I want to go to Fashion Street and buy t-shirts, it's a choice that I have. But I still have a cost baseline, which I'm talking about 10 grand. That's how a cost baseline of any project is decided. Any budgeting starts from there. What can be the maximum expense that I can do here in the given scenario? That's the budget, right? So project budget includes all the authorized funds allocated to execute a project. The cost baseline is the approved version of the time, phase, project budgets, but excludes management reserves. Now, what do you mean by management reserves? Let's look at this. Let me give you a personal example. So we took an example of saying, okay, I get 2,000 rupees as pocket money. But have you noticed that your parents still give you a little 500 rupees or say 1,000 rupees if you really require it by the month end? Why do they do that? That's a management reserve. Exactly what happens in offices and organizations also. If there is a genuine contingency, if there is genuinely a requirement of fund, that is when the management reserves come out. Have you noticed, if you look at it from an HR point of view, management reserves is the money that an organization keeps with them to ensure they can fight contingencies or risk, those are not certain. So it's the time during the rainfall. It's the money that's saved during the rainfall when you don't know what might happen, right? So on 26th July, if you remember what happened in Mumbai during the heavy rains, the money that people had saved was utilized for ensuring that they save their life. Which means, because there was no water, they had to buy water, they had to buy food, their cars were in rain. So it's the money that you save for the rainy day. That's a simple management reserve definition that you should realize. That takes us to the next slide, where we explain how what are the inputs that you require from project management point of view. You require a cost management plan, of course, and a cost management plan describes how a project cost will be managed and controlled. Who will manage it, and how would it be managed? How would you know that it is working on the same line? How would it know that you're just exceeding it? So you need to have these parameters in place. Let's look at one of the inputs that are required is, of course, the scope. If I have a scope that's defined clearly, and I have a baseline to that scope, and this is the scope, and it doesn't go out of this, then I also can manage my cost. So let's take a same example of 2,000 rupees. You know that you're going to get 2,000 rupees every month. So next month you're planning for a picnic, and your friends say, okay, 1,000 rupees is the contribution. You say, no, I can't pay 1,000 rupees because I have only 2,000 rupees. I can only manage 500. Now, it is defined by you because you have a scope of 2,000 rupees only. So that's the scope baseline we're talking about. So the scope baseline is a combination of limitations by contracts for utilization, expenditure, allocated funds, work breakdown structures. If you remember, we were talking about work breakdown structure, WBSs, a WBS dictionary that provides related detailed statements of the work identification of the deliverables and a description of a work in each WBS of a delivery deliverables. Now, when I say that, what are we talking about? So let's pick up the same example and work it around. It talks about, okay, I have this 500 rupees and why we require 500 rupees of contribution and why we require 1,000 rupees of contribution. So a lot of why analysis comes out of it, and then you have a clear demarcation of why you require 1,000 rupees or why you are able to justify with 500 rupees. So that's how more or less a scope baseline is defined. Let's move on and look at the next aspect. Post scope baseline, you have a cost of estimates or activity cost estimates, which is also called as a standard rate guide. So A standard rate guide generally is one of the activities how you manage and but you know control by the restaurants. Do you have a menu card? You always have a menu card, right? So if you have less money in your pocket, what do you do? How do you start? How do you read a menu card? You actually read it from left to right. You don't read it from right to left, because left is where the cost is and right where the menu is. So you actually look at the left-hand side of what your pocket is saying, and then you look at the right side what you can eat. So that's a rate card for you. So you clearly define and you take a decision of what to eat only looking at the left-hand side sometimes. Why? Because you have less money in your pocket. So that's the activity cost estimates or standard rate guide we'll talk. So let's read through what's there on the slide. It talks about cost estimates for each activity within a work package are aggregated to obtain a cost estimate to each work package, right? So there will be a family meal and you have one package. There will be a family meal plus some. So typically work packages, completely relate to something that's done in MACDs if you go. So if you take segregated things, the cost is different. If you take a package, that's the cost is different. And then that's a standard rate guide that they have. So that's an activity cost estimate that they've already put in, and this is the estimate that you've got to pay. Or this is the money that you're going to pay for this, and this is how we come out with the work packages. Basis of estimates. Now, very important, how does the cost get evolved? I mean, I need to know, right? If I'm paying 100 rupees, why is it 100 rupees? So what's the cost? Am I able to get the value out of it? Okay, let me give you an example of what is the difference between cost and value. So it's a very personal example that I ask you. Let's consider, you have two papers, two photo papers. What do you mean by photo papers? The one that you get your photographs printed. You have two papers. If I ask you to say stamp on one, which is blank, completely blank, you would not think a second. You just don't think second time. Dr. Pawar is asking you to stamp, and you stood on it. That's no problems, right? The second paper has your parents' photographs. Both papers. The second paper has your parents' photographs. And if I ask you to stamp on it, would you do that? I'm 200% sure you will not. Now, that's the difference between cost and value. The cost of the paper is, say, 10 rupees. It's same. It is not changed. It is not changed because it's just material. That's the cost of it. But the value of the next paper that you did not stamp on is very high. Why? Because it has an emotional value of the paper. The first paper does not have any emotional value. So that's a big difference between cost and value. So, and good project managers understand the value, and good project managers understand cost. So hence, they are very vigilant while spending money. So while budgeting things. So if they realize the value of this particular part of a machine is very high to me, then the cost of it, they also ready to spend more cost. So that's how cost and value mechanism works. And value has to be created. It can be non-tangible sometimes. So let me give you an example. We get roadside food, and if you have money in your pocket. So let's assume that you have money in your pocket, and you're just going by and you're a little hungry. Where would you go? Would you go to a MACD's, or where do you go to a street food to have? From a security point of view, you will always, or maybe all these diseases keep coming up. If there is a father and a child, and the child is hungry, and the father has the money in his pocket, right, he would prefer going to MACD's than the street. Why? Because he feels that it is standardized, it is good, it is hygienic, it is fresh. Now, all these are values that are created of the same product, my friend, because they're created in a different way. So value is what is giving you money, not the cost. Because the bread that is made is maybe in the same bakery. You don't know, right? But the way it is being presented to you is the value that they have created. It's the value that they have created of their product. So they charge 200 rupees for it, and the same street food will cost you 20 rupees. So value creation is the game of in your projects as well. So while you actually making a project, see the value of the project, how it's going to help the community, how it's going to help the environment, how it's going to help the stakeholders, how it's going to help the investors, how it's going to help the people who are working in your project, how it's going to help the country that you live in, or the globe tomorrow. So realize that value is what you have to create out of money. and not the cost. So important is you got to constantly keep working on the value creation point of view, then trying to create the cost basis of it. So if you try convincing people about your project on cost, it's not going to work. Or maybe it may, but not at level that, and it not be sustainable. But if you're able to convince people on value, it may be a little difficult and intangible at some point in time. But if you're able to do that, that is something that's going to give you a complete confidence within yourself and also your stakeholders and investors. So be aware that you have to create a value in your projects, then creating a cost estimation. Your cost estimation is just an Excel sheet, but the value that create around that Excel sheet is the most integral part. So let's move ahead and look at the basic of estimates. So the basic for estimates will contain the supporting details of the cost estimates, such as basic assumptions that deals with the inclusion and exclusion of indirect or other costs of the project. So to give you a simple example around this as well, the basic of estimates is I'm saying if I need to import a part from say US, what's the freight charge? That's an assumed charge. Where would I get that? The freight companies would give me that cost, right? Who would pay that? Would it be incorporated in the product cost, or I have to pay it separately? So that is my project budget estimate. My basic of my estimates is the freight companies, maybe different quotations from the freight companies. That becomes my basis of the estimates. So I might say, okay, 10, 15 or 10% variable is okay, because by the time I actually acquire it, maybe the prices have gone 10% high. So I need to have that buffer around. So that becomes my base of whatever estimation that I'm making when it comes to logistics. This takes us to the next part of it and few more inputs on it. Inputs of budgeting, project schedule, resources and resource calendar. Now, project schedule and resource calendar, why they go hand in hand? Because at the end of the day, you require people to execute any projects. So it is important that you know what is their resource, what is their availability and how are you going to use them. So to read through the slide, it says the project schedule or resource calendar shall specify relation of time with the activities, milestones, work packages, etc. These details such as planned start and start finish dates, execution period, assignments of resources and impact of delay can be used to aggregate cost of the calendar period, the periods in which the costs are planned to be incurred. Next is risk register, but we talk about project schedule and resource calendar first. So let's look at this. If I'm talking about a project schedule and I know that resources are important in it and I need to have these resources at time, let's consider there's a software company and you have a resource who actually creates codes. Now, let me tell you, not all the all the software companies actually create new codes. Of a software, they actually can copy paste it from a lot of things, or they keep improvising on it. But say there's a resource which is required to create new codes, and maybe he is a shared resource with four different project managers. He's an integral part of my project, but he's a shared resource, which means he might also have his priorities, and project managers will also have their priorities for that project. Important is that I schedule this resource in such a format that it gives me correct impact of his time and intelligence. Hence, it is important that I build on my complete schedule plan when it comes to resource calendaring. It needs to have a start time, it needs to have an end time. So if say this coder is what they're called in software companies, this coder has 10 activities to be completed. I need to have activity 1, say, starts from 1st of January, activity 1, which starts on 1st and it ends at 10. So I need to have a clear demarcation how the resource is to be allocated. Why? Because he's a shared resource and then he has a salary. So let's look at this. His salary is, say, 2 lakh rupees and he's working on 4 different projects. So what's the cost that you're incurring for his activities? Macro level, 50,000 rupees. So that's the cost that you are incurring in your project for this resource. Important is that I need to map it. I need to have it in writing on some software or some mechanism. I have been giving examples about this. That MS Projects is a good software to use for these reasons. So let's look at this. I'll read through for you. The list is we talking about risk register. The review of updated risk register is essential to consider and aggregate the risk response cost. So what do you mean by risk response cost? To give you an example on risk response, it is the time that I take to come back. Now, one of a very beautiful example of history that I always use when it comes to risk response is the Hiroshima-Nagasaki nuclear attack that happened during the World War II. Today, it can be done a little faster, but in those days, when recovery of any place in such a beautiful way was amazing. The entire devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the World War II during the nuclear bomb attack, you saw that entire thing was devastated, but the time they took to recover back was the most integral part of their success. The risk response time. So there was a risk during the World War. They were hit by a nuclear nuke and then they recovered it faster. If you go to World War II again, beautiful learnings from history. The entire Europe was devastated. Everything had fallen apart. Right? Everything had fallen apart. The railway lines, the airlines, the connectivity, the telecom, the electricity, everything was fallen apart. And fortunately, I traveled. Within 30 years, I mean, just 30 years, the entire Europe is built up again. Wow. Now, that's how you got to work on risk response, which means people people who were into that war situation did realize that post-war, the key of getting back to the economy is how quickly we are able to do it and how efficiently we are able to do it. Now, that is called the risk response. And it requires cost. So because cost comes with time, recovery will come in time. So if I decide, okay, it's okay, I'm going to take 100 years. If Europe would have decided that I'm going to take 100 years to develop, get back, the economy would have dropped down. And then their cost would have dropped down. And similarly, the products and services that they provide to the world today would have dropped down. So they decided to do it in whatever minimal time, so costs shoot up. And the moment costs shoot up, today there is a different way that they function altogether. So that's an example of for you on what's a cost, what's a risk response cost. Project agreements, available agreements, contract information and costs related to products, services or results that have been or will be taken into consideration while determining the budget. So project agreements play a very important role. Why do they play an important role? Is because everybody needs to know what is to be done, how it's to be done, when it's to be done. Very, very important. Three questions to be answered when I'm making an agreement with any vendor, with any partner. When, how, who does it? What is the time that's required? And I need to have clear demarcations around it because these agreements can get into conflict as well. So if the resource changes with my, or my partner changes, my agreement changes, and because agreements are made between people who can think together or think in the same line. That's how agreements are made. So that's one of part of it. That's one of the inputs for your budgeting as well. Similarly, organizational budget policies, strategies. So maybe an organization decides that tomorrow we're not going to spend, say, $100,000 or that's the final budget that we have and your project is asking maybe, say, $2,000, $2,100. So can you do this project? No, ideally no. It's because your project is far exceeding what the budget is. Are you able to justify it? Great. If you're able to justify, are you justifying it to your investors? Are you justifying it to your stakeholders? Are you justifying it to your managers? Then the possibility of you getting that money is more. But in the prime phase, they will deny it. So important, understanding the budgeting policies, understanding strategies while you're doing project is very, very important. Let's look at this. External formal or informal cost budgeting related policies, procedures and guidelines. So there are documents that which in a set organization will always have these documents. But in an upscaling or a growing organization, the budgets are always evolving. And the word is, if you remember last time I spoke about, it's called Agile, A-G-I-L-E. agile methodology. So in startups or in growing organizations, you always have an agile methodology of budgeting as well. Cost budgeting tools, softwares, programs, a lot of them are already available in the open market, and you can buy them to use it to, for your efficiency. And reports methods. So what is the reporting method that I have around? So costing budgeting approach. There are various models that we can use as an approach of my budgets. Let's read through what's written on the slide, and I'll take you through examples around it as well. So there are various models in use are used basically individually or in combinations of depending on the sustainability of the organizational culture and business policies. Few of them are elaborated for your better understanding. So the first is cost aggregation. Now this is the simplest way of doing it. What do we mean by cost aggregation is we actually club up all the work packages that are required. So what do I mean by that? Supposedly in a project, what is the logistic cost? What is the procurement cost? What is the resources cost? What is the technology cost? So I club all those together and then prepare a budget around it. So that's called the cost aggregation process. This is the simplest approach that aggregates the cost estimates of work packages in the line with the WBSS, which is work breakdown structure. The work packages estimates and are then added to the higher levels components so that the entire project or the controls levels are specified in the monitoring. So what happens in this, as I give you an example, whether it's procurement, whether it is logistics, whether it is IT, which is information technology, whether it is software services, whether it is human resource services, all of them can be then clubbed together and a cost aggregation comes out. The next is also called as reverse analysis. Now, let's read through this. It's very easy, but I'll tell you what it means. The reverse analysis approach considers the reverse of an unknown or a known unknown or an unknown unknown, which can be put in simple terms as anticipated possible risk and unanticipated risk, and the cost of them. The known unknown reserve is called as the contingency reserve. The same amount of cost uncertainty, for example, rework for project deliverables could be anticipated. Here the project deliverable is known as the amount of rework to be unknown, which means in a simple example, if I have a project that I'm running right now, which is a possible risk that I know and there are possible risks that I don't know. So I have figured out a cost of risk. Or a risk response cost is going to be, say, $100,000. I'm going to equally keep that cost for an unknown reserve. What is an unknown reserve? The risk that I don't know might come. So this goes back to the philosophy which I described earlier, that there are 2% things that I know in the project, there are 2% things that I don't know in the project that I don't know. And I don't know, it is 2% that I know that I know. 2% is I know that I don't know. For an example, I know what is an aircraft. I don't know how to fly it. So that is an example of I know that I don't know. But there's 96% still remaining in the pie, which I don't know, I don't know. So that's exactly is a surprise for me. Now, this can be a positive surprise or a negative surprise. So that's how reverse analysis is done. Taking risk into consideration.